Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. In our final hour, and we're into a new day here in the El Pacifico. It's now Wednesday morning. I know it's been Wednesday for you guys, many of you, elsewhere. But that means, Bud, get the garbage out.
Yeah, I did take the can out.
Yeah, is that all of it?
Yeah.
All right, so that's cool, because tomorrow's garbage day.
What is?
Tomorrow, Wednesday.
Well, it's not garbage. Oh, you mean in the neighborhood that you live in?
Yeah.
It's not. In our neighborhood, what we try to do is we try to leave our garbage out at a time and a place where you don't see cans and you don't smell them. Now, I know that probably sounds rather effete and snobbish of us, but if you think of a neighborhood as a place that you want to live in that looks as beautiful as it is, as it feels, to drive down the street and see nothing but containers of people's waste, the waste that came from that family, it has caused Frank and I to stop speaking to some families, you know?
Why?
Well, if you think about, in other words, I don't want to be friends with someone when I see the waste they create. Do you understand what I mean?
No.
Not really.
All right. When I drive down the street and I look at, for instance, we were very good friends with the Berries. This is the family on our street. And they have a gorgeous home. And we drive down the street, and now I see containers of their filth. And I immediately want nothing to do with them.
Well, I'm going to ask you the obvious question.
Do we have containers of our filth? No, we don't. Do we have garbage? Yes, we do. Do we leave it on the street for people to see so they can say that came out of Margaret and Frank?
Came out of? I'm not talking about sewage.
Well, but the people don't differentiate. Look at what's in those cans. Margaret made that. You know, Phil, I happen to think for my age, I'm a very attractive woman. When you look at me and then you see a container of the filth I've created.
Probably turn people off.
I think it would put some people off. Yes, Bud.
Okay.
But what is the okay? What does that mean?
It means I don't even know where to begin with those comments, so just, okay, I just told Bud, take our garbage out, or take out the garbage for the studio, because it's, you know, Wednesday, and that's where that's at, and let me just move on.
Okay.
Well, Margaret, don't be sarcastic.
Well, you blow off, Phil. You blow off, to use your terminology, things that are very important.
No, I don't blow off anything that's important. I blow off things that are trivial, and please, I want to move on, so...
Whatever.
Right, whatever. That's a good answer. All right, now, just a little bit of news here, because Dan and I were talking about this. It's very interesting. By the way, the A's defeated the Tigers tonight, I believe, Game 3 of the American League Divisional Series at O.com Coliseum in Oakland, California. The Athletics played the Detroit Tigers in Game 3. Didn't he win? What's the thing here, man? A's aching Anderson puts the hurt on Tigers, yeah. What was the final score in this thing, I guess, is anybody's guess, but nonetheless, they won.
Want me to find out?
Yeah. Why can't you guys who write news articles, I understand that you want people to read the whole article, otherwise, why did you spend all that time writing the article? I understand that. I understand that you're trying to, in some way, shape, or form, help the print media survive, even in the world of the World Wide Web. But frankly, I don't care. You know, if I want the score, I want the score. Now, guess what? You see this whole article that you wrote? I'm not going to read your article because you didn't give me... Had you given me the score, I might have read this article.
Oh, no, you wouldn't have.
Yes, I would have. Yes, I would have. But now I'm not reading the article. All right, now... Food labels tell consumers about the calories, nutrients, and serving size of a product. Will they want to know if their food is genetically engineered, they being you and me? Well, that question is at the heart of a California ballot initiative that seeks to require certain foods that contain genetically modified ingredients to be labeled as such. How do you guys feel about that? You know?
I want to know if it's genetically engineered.
I don't.
You don't?
No. Well, I'm not exactly sure what side to take on this. I'm not exactly...
Well, you don't know which is the liberal and...
No, that isn't it. I don't know. I haven't looked at the issue.
All right. Well, in any event, Proponents say people have a right to know what they're eating. Opponents say grocery bills will be higher if the measure is passed, that measure being one that would require foods that are genetically modified to be labeled as such. Genetically engineered crops have existed for more than a decade. Most of the biotech crops are used for animal feed or as ingredients in processed foods, including cookies, cereal, potato chips, and salad dressing. The federal government and many scientists have said such foods are safe to eat. Proposition 37 at a glance. What it would do, it would require most genetically engineered processed foods and produce sold in supermarkets and other retailers to be labeled as such. GMO foods, I don't know what that stands for, but we'll get to it. GMO, genetically modified, yeah. GMO foods also will be prohibited from using the phrase natural on their labels. Meat, dairy, alcohol, and restaurant foods are exempt. The supporters are consumer groups and the organic food industry. They say the measure gives shoppers more information about what they're eating and allows them to decide whether they want to buy food made with genetically modified ingredients.
All right, I support it.
Well, why?
Don't give me that look. I support it.
Why? Because it's consumers.
No, because the organic food industry supports it. And so...
Oh.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's just some people...
Some people what? I want you to define that.
Meaning you, Margaret, just go with the flow. Whatever the liberals and the, you know...
Well, you sound like such an old, curmudgeonly conservative.
I'm not. But, I mean, I try to have a more informed opinion than you, which is, well, let's see, who do the organic food people support? Okay, I support that.
I don't think I sounded quite like a gay man when I said it, did I?
A little bit. So, consumer groups and the organic food industry say the measure gives shoppers more information about what they're eating and allows them to decide whether they want to buy food made with genetically modified ingredients. Those who oppose it are, here you go, agribusiness, food producers, pesticide companies, and retailers. They say grocery bills would increase if the initiative succeeds. They also say it could lead to frivolous lawsuits against grocery stores, which would have to ensure proper labeling under the initiative. Now, let me just tell you why I support this measure, and I've supported it since Dan and I talked about it about 3 weeks ago. Number one, agribusiness says that grocery bills would increase if the initiative succeeds. Well, that means that that's a for sure they will increase because agribusiness has decided that the grocery bills will increase. They've already basically said, and it's kind of a threat, your grocery bills are going to go up. The other thing is frivolous lawsuits. Aha. Let's talk about the frivolous lawsuit. Frivolous lawsuits against grocery stores, which would have to ensure proper labeling under the initiative. Otherwise, people would sue if it wasn't labeled properly as organic. Okay. There is, for instance, ladies and gentlemen, the possibility that if a lawsuit is frivolous, that it's not heard. Now, that is something that has nothing to do with whether the food industry is required to label genetically altered foods. That has to do with our courts. And whether some dumbass judge or a judicial system somewhere in a state or even federally says, sure, we'll hear your lawsuit, when you know full damn well it's bullcrap. Now, I'm talking about a lawsuit that is filed by a citizen because the genetically modified food wasn't labeled, and therefore... there were damages, or there was something happened. You know, harm befell the person. Now you got to me, that's a very specific thing. And
so you're saying what? You're saying
I'm saying that that's not the problem of the people that are promoting this initiative. That's the problem of any court hearing this. I don't know why half of these courts hear these lawsuits. Well, it's a frivolous lawsuit. What the hell are you even entertaining it for? What are you suing for? They didn't have the thing labeled. Okay. And you were claiming what? Well, because they didn't label it as genetically modified food, I have an allergy and I have a doctor's prescription here that tells me that I'm allergic to genetically modified wheat and they didn't have a label and I had a thing and my head blew up and I exploded. Okay. I think we'll hear that lawsuit because some actual, you know, harm came to you. I mean, physical harm, you know, you were injured. There was an injury and I think that there's probably damages that would accrue. Now you're suing, and what happened? Well, they didn't have a label on there. And, okay, when, what are you, well, they just didn't have a label, sir. I mean, that's against the law. Okay, we understand it's against the law, and the store has been fined, but what do you got to do with it? Well, I'm just suing on behalf of a consumer's group that they didn't, Now, any judge that hears that...
Well, I think that you would want to be able to hear that suit because if that individual represents a consumer's group of people that are allergic, you know...
No, I don't know. No, I don't.
Why?
Because that sounds like a load of hooey. It sounds like somebody that's looking for a payday. Oh, well, you know, Your Honor, I represent people that are allergic to this kind of stuff. Well, did anybody get sick? Well, we have a guy in Oklahoma who came down with an illness in 1932. Wait a minute. We're talking about, within the time span of this law being passed and foods being labeled. Has anybody gotten sick? Oh, well, yes, sir, I think, but she isn't allowed to travel, and she may have a... You know?
Well, what are you saying? That people will try to defraud the court?
Well, of course they will. Every day in this country, that kind of bullcrap is happening. And every day in this country, there are lawyers that are attempting to. And every day in this country, there are good lawyers and good judges who are attempting to not let that stuff happen. The frivolous lawsuit, that term, has turned into something so frightening and so odious to people that all you have to do is say those words, frivolous lawsuit, and people immediately will just say, aha, now I know what it's about. Okay, I'm voting, against it. But I would simply say that, that's not the fault of this law. That's the fault of courts even entertaining these lawsuits. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Romney says abortion wouldn't be on the agenda, but campaign waivers. What does that mean? We'll find out when we come back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. Maybe it means something. I don't know. Maybe it's a last-minute, last-ditch effort for Romney to try to woost more liberal votes. I don't know. I don't care. And whatever.
Truth very well is our it, bitch.
Thank you.
The Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, here, there's Linda Hogan. What is she? Well, the Hogan family are having problems. We were looking at some of the hot videos here on online, some of the videos of the...
Some of the celebrity stuff.
And one of the things we were looking at was the Christina Hendricks. She of Margaret?
She's in Mad Men.
Mad Men. And Christina Hendricks stopped this interview with Australian television. Can you tell us more?
Yes, Phil, Christina Hendricks was being interviewed by Australia's Channel 4. And in the interview, the interviewer, Christina in that case is the interviewee, and the interviewer said, "You are one of the world's great full-figured women." Well, Christina looked at him, and she looked at her, the individual from the studio that was there handling her, and by handle her,
yeah, I know what you mean by that.
Go ahead, handler.
Would you tell them to shut up,
bud?
Not handle her as in manhandle her. To help her with the interview. And then she looked at the interviewer. Well, naturally, she cut it short.
Now, why?
Why? Because he called her full-figured.
Okay, see, this is goes to the heart of what I'm talking about. Full-figured is not an insult.
It's not an insult to men, to women, to us. It is very insulting.
Well, you guys have got a problem. Now, hold on, Margaret. Just hold on. You know, women have really got to pull it together a little bit here because you guys are half crazy with you just... And I know, yes, I know, that a great many women would say, well, you men are the cause of this because you're the guys that have sort of created the standard of beauty. I counter by saying... we may have created it, and perhaps we propel it, but you sustain it. And especially the way women talk about each other, men have no choice in a lot of instances but to, when I was a kid, I've grown up my whole life loving women with big asses, okay?
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I was embarrassed to even talk about that with my male friends because I was afraid of being, laughed at or, in those days, guys used to talk about pig parties and stuff like that.
Well, Phil, excuse me, but what do the women have to do with this?
Well, what I'm saying is, what do the women have to do with it? I'm saying that, I guess you're right. I guess it was all, but I will tell you this. What bothers me...
No, but hold on for a minute, because I just want to savor this moment. I'm right, you're wrong.
Margaret.
No, hold on. I want to savor the moment. I'm right, you're wrong. Bud, Robert, you're witnesses.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, big deal.
No, yes, it is a big deal. It is a big deal because I am right and you're wrong.
All right, well, here's where you're wrong. You women, like this Christina Hendricks, she's called full-figured. That's a compliment. In the world of men, in the world of most men, 90% of men, healthy men, that's a compliment. If some men don't think it's a compliment, those guys are, you know, I don't know what to say about those guys. I don't think they're normal, to be honest with you.
You're kidding. You think a man that likes a nice, slender woman isn't normal?
No. I think a man that likes a nice, slender woman to the exclusion of a beautiful, full-figured woman isn't normal. I think a guy that can't even appreciate how beautiful a full-figured woman is, there's something wrong with a guy, yeah. Yeah. So,
Oh, my God. Get Frank on the phone, please.
Yeah, all right. Better wait a minute.
What is so weird about that?
That is absolutely... Are you kidding? A man that doesn't appreciate a full-figured woman is abnormal.
Yes. Now, let me finish what I'm saying. Christina Hendricks stopped that interview and said she thought that man was being rude. Now, we live in a society that supposedly, because I don't know, from any given day, I have no idea, but supposedly I'm told that anorexia is just so terrible and we don't want our daughters and our teenage, you know, our girls, we don't want our wives, we don't want the women in our lives, we don't want them suffering from anorexia. That's what they tell me, okay?
Well, what do you mean that's what they tell you?
No, hold on. So I say that's what they tell me. Then they turn around and, well, you know, full figured. Hey, woo, woo, woo. You know, watch it there with that full figured and watch it there with the fact that Mariah Carey's got a great big ass and watch it there about the big ass on Kim Kardashian. You know,
well, Phil.
No, not well, Phil, nothing. Now, which is it? And People Magazine, you bastards and people like you. Yeah, on the one hand, you got the you got your front page article, your feel good article about anorexia and oh, our daughters and this and that, so you can feel good about yourselves, and so you can say that you did the right thing, and then you're back to joking and pointing fingers at and making fun of women who have full figures. Now along comes a beautiful woman, Christina Hendricks. Are you kidding me?
Yes, she's pretty hot. I mean, for a gingerhead.
Yeah, I was gonna say she's a gingerhead, man.
So what if she's got red hair? I think she's gorgeous. Anyway,
well, I will give you this. Facially and from the breasts up, yes.
Oh, from the breasts up.
Sorry about your big you-know-what, Phil, but it doesn't make it.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much, Margaret. I'm getting my... I don't need any beauty advice from you, okay?
You don't need it. What does that mean?
Yeah, what are you thinking of being... Are you thinking of having getting one installed?
Getting one installed?
He's being polite.
A sex change.
Do I look like I'm getting a sex change?
No.
Getting one installed. I'm talking about Christina Hendricks is a gorgeous woman. She's got a fantastic body.
Oh, come on.
She's got a fantastic body. She's got a fantastic body. And I don't know whether it is there's not a guy in her life telling her that enough. I don't know whether there isn't a man in her life telling her how beautiful she is, and she hasn't heard the term full-figured in the context of it being a beautiful thing, that she gets upset and stops an interview. There's something wrong in that woman's life, I'm telling you.
Well, Phil, there's nothing wrong in that woman's life that eating a little fat-free cottage cheese won't, you know what I'm saying, and having carrots.
What are you saying?
Phil, there's nothing wrong with Christina Hendricks that a 20-calorie Jenny O bacon slice won't cure. Thank you.
So she needs a diet.
I didn't say that.
Well, you're giving her the fat-free cottage cheese and the 20-calorie Jenny O bacon slice.
Is that the turkey bake?
Yes, that's turkey bake. That's TB.
Oh, well, isn't that great? I'm glad the two of you are so conversant. That woman, she's going to turn into an anorexic. What are you going to do when you see the news about Christina Hendricks turning into an anorexic and she's dead? Dead.
How dare you say something like that? You're saying it like it's my fault.
Yeah, it would be your fault. In part, it would be your fault. You and all the other asses out there that made her feel being full. Congratulations to the Australian TV guy who said that. It's not a bad thing to say, sir. And it was a great question. And you are, you know, so there you go.
And what?
and he's my hero, whoever he is.
Yeah, let's find his name.
Yeah, I don't know who he is, but he's my hero. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. Live streaming video of our show right now at philhenryshow.com. Also, the Lion download is available.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, I have some news. Now, I don't know. But this is the week, definitely, that we are going to be Apple compatible. So if you have an iPhone or an iPad, and you are a subscriber to the Phil Henry Show website, this week, your Apple compatibility is established. It is a reality. And that means that you'll be able to watch our videos on demand. You will be able to access all of our media on demand with your iPad and your iPhone at philhenryshow.com. It's been a long time coming. You guys were very, very patient. Really, seriously, our backstage pass members are very patient. But we take things very methodically around here. We don't cut no deal with nobody until we know what's up, you know.
Right.
And we found a very good company that is providing the streaming. And they're providing the service, that is, to our liking. And the price is right, you know. One of the things that I just saw a commercial on TV about UPS... It was about entrepreneurial businesses. In other words, we're living in a day and age where people are working for themselves more and more. And I think that in the world of new media, if you will, you people that run the Akamai's and the Amazons, you people that provide the streaming and so forth for websites, I think you should take this into consideration a little bit. Instead of holding out for the big six-figure deal, you know, instead of holding out for the company that's going to lay $1 million on you per year, there's plenty of businesses that are smaller than that, but have got cash on the barrelhead, are making money, and are, you know, perfectly happy to do business with you. But what we found when we were out and we were shopping and we were looking for bids to provide us with this ability to make people's Apple products compatible with the media that we had on our site, we found a lot of companies that were, oh, well, you know, we only deal with the $1 million a year clients. Well, good for you, man. You go ahead. You know, I hope you're out of business in 6 months, you know, and something tells me you might be. Because how many of those people do you think are out there? And in the meantime, you got thousands and thousands of businesses in this country, tens of thousands of businesses in this country, that are much smaller and can use those services and are making a profit and can afford to pay, you know, a reasonable fee. I don't know, you know, a whole bunch of companies like that are even better in many ways than getting some big ass account like Major League Baseball. You know,
how much do you think Major League Baseball pays?
Major League Baseball probably pays a lot of bread for to have the sophisticated media that they have. There's no question that whoever provides the streaming for Major League Baseball, NFL, National Hockey League, the NBA, you know, they're making a lot of money. Well, guess what, man? They got lucky. You didn't, Charlie. And you know what? Major League Baseball and the NFL, those people are so big that your ass is liable to be out the door as soon as your contract is up with them, because they're always going to be looking for a better price. So don't think that there's any loyalty there, man.
Yes, but you know something, Phil? It is a pretty fat payday.
Well, it's a fat payday, and that's... God bless them. All I'm saying is, as these people turn their nose up, companies that are the size of mine or even smaller are finding options, and we've found our option, okay? As a matter of fact, we've found more than one option, and perfectly happy to be in business with our people. And what is the name? I don't want to mention the name of the company because it may not be that company. I don't know. What have we been doing, bud?
Well, I've been a bunch of them. I've been like three or four, but I think we're inking a deal with them, pretty soon.
Okay, so in any event, I say that because I was talking about the fact that this is the week that we will have Apple compatibility. Also, our episode 47 has dropped of the Free Phil Henry podcast. Episode 48 is on the way, and it's a good one. It's Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And this is one where I don't know what this one is, man, but we've got Ted Bell dropping tomorrow as episode 48 of the Free Phil Henry podcast. This week as well, Jack I. Gagner begins his weekly show, Lions Lion. It will be a call-in sports talk show. It starts tomorrow night, or if you will, tonight. This is Wednesday. It starts tonight at 6 o'clock Pacific. That would be 8 o'clock Central. 9 o'clock Eastern on the Phil Henry Show website right here at Phil TV in HD, Jack I. Gagner, and Lions Lion. And then just one more note, the Milwaukee Lions game against the Portland Logs is now online and available for download. It was Monday's game, and that is available. And I don't think that the Lions are blacked out. The Lions will be on next week as well. They're at home against the L.A. Tan. And I don't know, I think there's a blackout in a couple of weeks, Bud. You might want to check the schedule. So that's it. That's our news. That's our website. The owner of the children's show Sesame Street, the owners, have asked the Obama campaign to pull down an ad released on Tuesday that shows an image of Big Bird and mocks Republican nominee Mitt Romney for holding up the popular children's character as a symbol of unnecessary government spending. We've approved no campaign ads, and as is our general practice, have requested that both campaigns remove Sesame Street characters and trademarks from their campaign materials, said Sesame Workshop, a nonprofit educational organization that produces and owns the show, in a statement. Obama campaign spokesman Ben LeBolt said the request was under review. The ad is airing on national cable and broadcast television and time slots devoted to comedy shows, the campaign said.
Why won't they do what they want to do?
Yeah, if they said it's copyright protected.
Well, here's why.
It may have to do with news, if it's newsworthy.
Well, here's the thing. Romney said something about Sesame Street or PBS or some jazz. Obama, in his campaign ad, is using Romney. And Romney talking about it, so as such, that is a compelling public interest. But, and here's the big but, other than, you know,
the big buts you were talking about.
Yeah.
There's the big but other than Kim Kardashian.
that's okay, but it wasn't that funny.
No.
Well, Phil said it wasn't funny. You're not comically qualified to do.
Excuse me, but I'm an entertainment writer.
Yeah, but still.
Okay, take it easy, will you?
Will if?
Okay. And so what I'm saying is that the Obama campaign is reacting to what Romney said. So that is a legitimate reaction. However, the use of a copyright-protected mark, or I should say a mark that is a trademark, or any copyright-protected material in the ad, unless it was part of the news story. See what I'm saying? So if Romney said on television, I think Big Bird sucks, and he had a picture of Big Bird, right?
Yeah.
All right. That is a the Obama campaign would have a right to legitimately use that. That is a legitimate news clip. It is a compelling public interest. Okay. But if Romney said, I think Big Bird is a jackball, and the Obama campaign slipped in a picture of Big Bird.
Then that is the... Okay, that I didn't understand that part.
Yeah, that I think, as I understand the law, I think that violates the trademark. Using the clip of Romney saying what he said is okay, because he said it publicly. It is of a compelling public interest, and he said it, and there he is saying it. But if you're adding in a trademarked image, such as Big Bird, or anything that is a copyright protected, then you're adding it. It wasn't part of the original story, then that may be the problem. At last week's presidential debate, Mr. Romney said he would end the subsidy to the public broadcasting service as an example of spending cuts he would make to reduce the deficit. House Republicans passed a budget last year that included cuts to PBS. I love Big Bird, he said, but I'm not going to keep on spending money on things to borrow money from China to pay for. The Obama campaign has used the statement to cast Mr. Romney as the nemesis of Sesame Street characters. Speaking at a campaign event in Los Angeles on Sunday, President Barack Obama said his opponent was cracking down on Big Bird. Elmo's made a run for the border, the president said.
I thought that was very funny. Cracking down on Big Bird, are you putting me on? That's beautiful. Beautiful material.
Yeah, okay.
It is.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful material, I agree.
Oh, well, okay, comedy writers of America, that's beautiful material.
Phil, you know something? You're not the arbiter of all that's funny, okay?
I know, I just... All right. The campaign's 30-second ad suggests Mr. Romney is targeting children's programming rather than legitimate threats to the economy. Big Yellow, a menace to our economy, the narrator says. Mitt Romney knows it's not Wall Street you have to worry about, it's Sesame Street. Now, a statement on Sesame Street's website says Sesame Street would not exist were it not for PBS and its local stations, which is the distribution system for Big Bird and Friends, to reach all children across the U.S., particularly the low-income children who need us most. We welcome a serious conversation, one that does not include Sesame Street characters, but real solutions for our country, said Kirsten Kukowski, a spokeswoman for the Republican National Committee. All right, so what she was doing there is she was taking the side of Sesame Street, which asked that these images not be used. Now, the owners of the children's show, they said they asked the Obama campaign to pull down the ad that shows an image of Big Bird and mocks Mitt Romney. So I guess they did, yeah.
So they were singling out what Romney had said, and they used Big Bird to illustrate what Romney said. I don't see what that's why that's a problem.
Yeah, but that's an infringement on a copyright.
The only reason why you're saying that, Bud, is because you like Mitt Romney.
No, I do like Mitt Romney, but Obama doesn't know he's infringing on it.
You don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do. What he did is he put a picture of Big Bird. It's against the law.
It's not against the law to have a picture of Big Bird, for God's sake. What happened was this. Mitt Romney was talking about Big Bird, and President Obama put an ad out, rightfully so, saying that Mitt Romney wanted to destroy Big Bird and everything that it represents, and put a picture there.
No, he didn't say he wanted to destroy Big Bird.
Phil, for all intents and purposes, Mitt Romney said he wanted to throw Big Bird, let's be honest, in a stew pot.
No, he didn't say that.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, Mr. Henry said he didn't say that.
I don't care what Mr. Henry said. Retard.
Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah, I did, man. I heard that.
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you did. I heard you say retard.
You're a liar, Henry. You're a liar.
You're calling me a liar. Did you not say that, or did you?
Not the way you said it. I didn't go...
How did you say it, then?
I'm not going to say.
Yeah, you did. You said it.
No, I... Can we get back to the point?
No, this is the point. You called Bud... A retard.
No, I did not.
I heard you.
The way you characterized, you went, I did not say it that way.
Oh, so you did say it.
I said, first of all, you know how I say it. I say it so it's inoffensive. I said retard. I did not say, there you go, Phil. When you're wrong, it's so difficult for you to admit that you're wrong.
How is retard any less offensive?
It just is. Trust me on this. You don't want to look. You don't want to make me mad.
I love it when I get emails like that from people. That's fantastic. I got an email from a guy once. You don't want to make me mad. Nothing makes me laugh harder than somebody sending me an email that says, "You don't want to make me mad."
Some guy do that, you?
Yeah, we turned it over to the FBI. All right,
the FBI.
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, the FBI, they want all that now. Did you know that?
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Anytime anybody in the media, like me, anytime we get anything that is remotely threatening, there is a website, there is a special website that the FBI has set up in conjunction with another federal agency, and they want to see it all, because what they're doing is they are actively involved in researching, first of all, what the online atmosphere is, separating terrorist threats from run-of-the-mill cyber threats, from just a lot of hot air, this and that. And then they also want to find out, they're doing research on how do you track down these anonymous individuals, some of whom use multiple email addresses, some of whom use multiple handles on these email accounts. And so they have made the public aware of this resource. And my attorney told me about this. I didn't even know that it existed.
Well, it's a site online.
Yeah, it's a site online. It's a form that you fill out. And you then submit whatever email you have received that contains any kind of a threat or anything like that. So we're going to break here, but you got to watch when you get angry, and I understand people get angry, you got to watch what you say, even in an email, because you may think it's not going to come back on you, and more these things do. All right, we're going to take a break. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're running late. I apologize. Big Bird is safe. No, they don't want to throw his ass in a stew pot, okay?
Well, no, I said Mitt Romney does.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
You want hell with that big boiled chicken?
The Phil Hendry
what?
Show.
I said that people want hell with a boiled chicken.
Boiled chicken. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So I didn't.
Yes, you did, and I'll tell you, if you want to die, just say you want to die, and I'd be more than happy to help you with that, bud. But don't lie and say you were talking about the football game.
What happened?
Tell him.
I said that the Trojans wish the Trojans would win better.
Oh, what a lion. He said, are you going home to use your Trojan Twister?
No, I didn't.
Bud, are you going home to use your Trojan Twister? It's got nothing to do with I wish the Trojans would have won better.
I didn't say...
Yeah, you did, man. I heard it.
You see, Bud, the only reason why you're still alive, the only reason why you're still breathing is that man right there.
Margaret, don't talk that way.
I'm not going to sit here and listen to him talk about look me up and down and talk about Trojan Twister.
I didn't look you up and down. You think I want to throw up and everything?
Well, you dirty...
Hey!
Now I understand.
Understand what?
Why Robert goes after him all the time.
I ain't gone after him a couple weeks, Mr. Dennis, that he'd fire me.
Yeah, Robert doesn't come after me no more. He knows what's good for him.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Hey! What do I got to kick everybody's ass?
Tell him to apologize.
Bud, apologize for that Trojan Twister crack.
I didn't look her up and down.
All right, apologize for it.
I'm sorry.
I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry.
One more.
All right, Margaret, we heard him. What are you doing, man? What is that about, anyway?
The thing was on TV. I go, look, there's a Twister. I said, Margaret, hey, look, the Trojan Twister. And it's on a sale price. And that's all I remember. I blacked out.
What do you mean you blacked out?
He's using that excuse.
I did. I blacked out.
What does that mean you blacked out?
I forget what I did next.
I'll tell you what you did next. You looked me up and down and said, hey, Margaret, it's on sale.
No, I remember doing that, but I don't remember looking you up and down. Maybe I blacked out in that part.
Yeah, you know what, Bud? You're full of crap, okay? You blacked out. You know, sometimes it's not funny. Sometimes these crude references are not funny. And it's sad that some people think that they are, okay? Now then, Thursday is a very special day because guess what? Thursday there's going to be the vice presidential debate. And it may well be an interesting debate because both of the vice presidential candidates are Roman Catholics. Steeped in their faith, they disagree sharply on issues of crucial importance to the church, as do voters in Iowa and nationwide. In this particular article, we're talking about the divide coming into sharp focus on Thursday when the two vice presidential candidates, Joe Biden, who is our vice president, and his challenger, Representative Paul Ryan, meet in Danville, Kentucky for their only debate of the fall campaign. When they step onto the stage, it'll spotlight a first in American history. Never before have both major party tickets for the White House featured a Roman Catholic. It would be hard to find better representatives of the two poles of American Catholicism. Both men are deeply steeped in their faith, yet they disagree on issues of crucial importance to the church. Abortion, health care, the government's role in caring for the poor. Health care. You know, I don't understand why health care is of crucial importance. I understand that people being healthy is of crucial importance to the church. Taking care of people who cannot take care of themselves is of crucial importance to the church. I just don't get where this thing called health care is of crucial importance to the church. That's what, you know.
Well, because, what do you mean?
Never mind. It's like saying an anti-ballistic missile treaty is of crucial importance to the church, as opposed to saying stopping war is, I don't know.
Phil, go get some rest.
Yeah, I will. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. We're online at philhendryshow.com. Please do join us for our next videocast of our show at philhendryshow.com. Also, the Milwaukee Lions are now available for download at philhendryshow.com. That is the Milwaukee Lion podcast. So, until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.